pray. Father, we almost feel like we have no business trying to extend any thoughts in this portion of Scripture. It is the Holy of Holies. It is behind the curtain. It is that crucial few hours where things are being done we don't totally understand, but feel like we're not too sure we even have the right to get up here and preach about it. But you've told us to preach about it. And so, Lord, help me say what I need to say, and nothing more, and nothing less. And guide us, Lord, to get a picture of what's going on here in these last couple of chapters in the book of Mark, that we might have a better picture of what should be going on in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Straightway in the morning, Jesus has been abused, and that's putting it mildly. He has been abused physically, emotionally, verbally, all night by these religious hypocrites, particularly the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. And they have, as we have said before, broken every single law that ever was put together on how a court ought to run. And the Jews had a tremendous, Israel had a tremendous judiciary system in how things were supposed to be done. So people would come from far and near to do it like they did it, because their laws from way back in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, they're amazing how they were supposed to handle things. And that person who was accused of anything was supposed to be, and definitely by the law of Israel, was innocent until proven guilty. Well, that is not what happened with Jesus. They got together just to figure out how to kill him. And so, straightway in the morning, and they've had this phony, illegal trial by night, all night. But it wasn't real, and they knew it wasn't real. So to make it look like some kind of reality, and they were doing it according to the law, in the morning, they were going to do it all over again. Because you couldn't have a trial by night. That was one of the rules that was against the laws of Israel. So straightway in the morning, in an attempt to make it look legal, the chief priests held a consultation. They got together and said, now we better do this, make it look good, with these elders and the scribes and the whole council. And they had a consultation. And all this time, Jesus, of course, there, and he's bound. And they bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. Now we're going to have it done legally. And Pilate, in verse 22, saith unto them, what should I do then with Jesus? But this is the question that every person in the world has to answer sooner or later. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. And one day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? We will, every one of us, stand personally and alone in front of Jesus Christ and give an answer. We will do that. The Bible says so, and everything the Bible says is so. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is who he says he is. And those who have rejected him as their personal Savior on the authority of the Word of God will be cast into hell. I wish that wasn't in the Bible, but it is. So the chief priests, what will they do with Jesus? The elders, the scribes, the whole council, what will they do with Jesus? Well, they made their choices and they suffered their consequences and will for eternity. But it's, the focus is turned away here a little bit from the chief priests and the elders, the scribes and the council, to one man, and his name is Pilate. Pilate is, his name occurs 56 times in 54 verses in the Bible. And he takes center stage here, and he is mentioned 10 times in this book of Mark, and all of them are here in chapter 15. Pilate, 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 Pilate. 10 times. Why did they bring Christ to Pilate? Why didn't they just kill him? I mean, they stoned Stephen not long after this. They just picked up rocks and stoned him. They later stoned Paul and thought he was dead, dragged him out and left him on the side of the road thinking he was dead, which he wasn't. Why didn't they just go ahead and stone him? Absolutely every detail that was being done here was being done that scriptures might be fulfilled. And he had to be brought before the Gentiles. And he had just said that to the disciples a few days before this. He said, I'm going to be brought up before the Jews, and they are going to deliver me to the Gentiles. And all the prophecies in the Old Testament said that. They could have gone ahead and killed him. Now, they did not have the judicial right, because the Romans took that away from them, to put anybody to death, like they did prior to the Romans bringing them into captivity, scripturally. But they didn't have it now. But they did do it when they felt like it, like Stephen. But they wanted to make this look legit. We got to do this one right. They came to Pilate, and it tells us in Luke 23 that they lied. And they said in Luke 23, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow, one, perverting the nation. He never did that. And two, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. He said, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And three, saying that he himself is the king. Christ is the king. He wants to another insurrection going on here. They lied about this. He said no. When they tried to make him king, remember, he snuck away. No. Didn't do any of those things. So he's before Pilate, and Pilate in verse 2 asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? Now, they said he's perverting the nation, he's forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. Pilate ignored those two, because it tells us here, he knew for envy they had been delivered up, but he had a political problem on his hands, and he needed an answer to this political problem. So he focused on the third lie, and that was, art thou the king of the Jews? Just answer me on this. Well, Pilate gets a bunch more accusations in verse 3 and verse 4 from the chief priests. And Pilate said unto him in verse 4 again, answerest thou nothing? But Jesus answered nothing, verse 5, so that Pilate marveled. Why did he marvel? Because he knew that Jesus knew to answer his question would be to set free. All he had to do was answer Pilate's question. Are you the king of the Jews? No, not right now. I will be 1,000 years from now, but 2,000 years. But I, no, to answer this question, I have no, my kingdom is not of this world, he said later, or my people would fight. But if he had answered this question here, he would have been set free. And Pilate knew it. And Pilate knew that Jesus knew it. See, verse 6, Pilate comes out and he says, now at the feast, it says here concerning this, now at the feast he released unto them, Pilate released unto them, one prisoner whomsoever they desired. Keep in mind, and I'll prove it to you in the next few minutes, Pilate wanted to release Jesus Christ. He wanted to release him. He wanted him to go. He knew for envy that they delivered him. So the crowd is saying, we want one of these prisoners released, and the crowd wants Jesus released at this point. I'll show you that. 7. There was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Now remember I said the Romans have been watching very carefully. That's why 600 or more Roman soldiers showed up in Gethsemane. Why? Because they have been watching carefully. The whole crowd, major crowd, some say 10, 20,000, some say 3 million, have come in from all over the place for the Passover. There is a major crowd. A few days later, they've been praising him, Hosanna, King of the Jews, he is this, he is. And the Romans see this crowd looking for him as king. Keep in mind that an insurrection had recently been put down, but there's still one going. This guy Barabbas, verse 7, was part of an insurrection. So I think Pilate is basically looking at Jesus and saying, are you part of this insurrection? Are you going to be the king? Is this what's going on? He answered him, nothing. It's interesting that Barabbas, his insurrection, and it referred to as a murderer. This story is in all four Gospels, and it is mentioned 11 times altogether concerning him. Now, verse 8, the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire of him, Pilate, to do as he had ever done unto them. We want you to release a prisoner. The crowd at this point wants Jesus released. So does Pilate. And Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. So he's saying to the crowd, do you want me to release Jesus? Now, we would be in this book forever if we took the time to do this. But you really, if you want to study any part of the Gospels, you've got to study them all together. And Mark is just giving the headlines. There's a lot of details that he leaves out. But in Matthew 27, where we have this verse 10 here, it says in Matthew 27 and 19, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Same verse. And immediately following that, it says, when he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now get the picture. He's there. He's up on that big, you know, kind of like a porch thing, and he's all this crowd is down there. And the crowd is saying, release Jesus. You said you'd release one every year. We want him released. He just raised their people from sickness. I mean, they had just put their clothes on the ground and, yeah, let him come in. You know, they Hosanna and all that. But by the providence of God, Pilate's wife interrupts the process right here. And she comes in and he's in the middle of this whole thing. And all of a sudden, she shows up. Have nothing to do with this just man. While that is happening, and while he is over there talking to his wife, he's probably wishing she hadn't showed up, but God sent her. While he is talking to her, verse 11, the chief priests moved among the people that he would rather release Barnabas unto them. Why is that word rather in there? Because they, chapter 15, verse 11, I'm in. All right, but the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Why the word rather? Because they wanted Jesus. And so while Pilate's wife is interrupting the whole procedure because God wanted it to happen that way, the chief priests, who think they're in charge of everything, they're in charge of nothing. Everything is happening exactly as God said it would. So the chief priests get in the wrong crowd. I don't know what they said, but whatever they said, they scared that crowd into totally changing their mind. The crowd is so fickle. I mean, a couple of days ago, they were putting down their clothes and putting down the palm branches and, hail, King of the Jews. And now, you'll see in this chapter, they're crying, crucify him. And they have been persuaded, they have been influenced by these scribes and chief priests as they move the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. We said recently, Mark 4:24, Mark 8:15, Mark 13:5, and Mark 13:9, Jesus gave these two words, take heed. In 4:24, he said, take heed what you hear. I mean, There's somebody going to try to influence you, like those chief priests tried to influence the crowd and did. Take heed what ye hear. And then he said in 8 and 15, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. That's all going on in this, but they didn't take heed. And then 13 and 5 says, take heed lest any man deceive you. Oh, they're being deceived. They were being greatly deceived. And finally, Mark 13 and 9, take heed to yourselves. Because it's coming down to choices and consequences, and you're making your own choices, and you're going to suffer the consequences, and so am I. Well, the crowd has been persuaded to start screaming for Jesus to be crucified. And verse 14 says, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried again, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. They have been totally changed since Pilate's wife showed up on the scene. And it gave the chief priest the opportunity to do that. Pilate's still trying to get him released. And in John 18 and 31, then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. Why don't you just take him and judge him according to your law? He did not want to crucify Jesus Christ. And the Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. They didn't want to go with the law. They wanted him dead. We can't put anybody to death. You Romans have told us we can't do that anymore. John 19 and 6 says, when the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, take ye him and crucify him. For I find no fault in him. I'll tell you what. I'll give you permission to crucify him. You go ahead, do it if you want to. But they didn't. John 19 and 12 says, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Now they're getting Pilate's attention. Now the crowd's going to influence him. To this point, he's wanting to let Jesus go. But we read here in verse 15, chapter 15, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now, again, you can't understand the timeline here unless you put all four Gospels together. And you get the verses that are side by side and take about 15 hours to go through that and have a look at it, and it'll help you put the timeline together. Mark doesn't do that. He's just giving you the headlines. He's not filling in any paragraphs. There's a way more details in John concerning the timeline of events, and in John chapter 19 it reads this way, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Therefore, you'll read that about Pilate, therefore, six times. Whatever Pilate did, he did it because of something that had just happened prior. We're probably the same. And he scourged him. Now, my question is this. Why did he do that? I cannot find it, contrary to what most commentaries say, I cannot find it in the Bible that they automatically scourged someone before they crucified him. I can't find that anywhere. They had crucified thousands of these people who had come up with the insurrections. There is no indication any of them were scourged. Maybe they were, but I can't find it. If they weren't, why did he have Jesus scourged? Well, again, get the timeline here. It says then, after they said, crucify him, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, hail, King of the Jews, and smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said, behold the man. I think that it's very possible, with Pilate really wanting to release Jesus, that he had him scourged, that he let them crown him with thorns, and punch him and beat him and spit on him in an appeal to the crowd, so the crowd would say, he's had enough. Let him go. Behold the man. The interesting part of the whole story is the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the council, Pilate, they all thought they were judging Jesus. The truth of the matter is, he was judging them. All the way through this. And they will, everyone, face the judgment of God because of its choices and its consequences. Now the focus on verse 16 turns to the soldiers at the cross. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. Now, Mark's dealing with what we already read in John. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head, began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him on the head with a reed, did spit upon him, bowing down their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. Now again, the timeline here looks different, but it's not if you put the four of them together. The soldiers. Why did they treat him like that? What had he ever done to any one of those soldiers? That they put a purple robe on him, crowned him with thorns, beat him on the head with their reeds, spit in his face, punched him, slapped him. Why did they do that? The absolute hate for God. Now we have one little verse. We got the soldiers focused here for a bit. And then this guy, Simon. Verse 21. And they compelled one Simon, a Syrian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. One little verse, one major lesson. He is from the area where Africa would be, probably a black man. What was he doing in Jerusalem? The Bible, all it really tells us is that he passed by coming out of the country. Now, was he there for the Passover? Probably. It is most likely that he was a proselyte Jew. And he came and was part of the Passover. Or he was just traveling through. Either way, Passover lambs are being slaughtered, getting prepared to be slaughtered. They will be being slaughtered at the very hour that Jesus actually died on the cross. And this man passing through meets the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Is this by chance? No. I said before, we all have some really serious appointments with God in this world. On October 7th, 1955, I had an appointment with God at 8 o'clock in the evening. And I had to decide. I had to choose. What am I going to do with this? The Bible says that every one of us will sometime have an opportunity to accept or reject Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. It's a terrible thing to reject Jesus Christ. It's the only sin that will send you to hell. You can kill people. You can commit adultery. You can lie and steal and cheat. You can drive airplanes into the Twin Towers. You can be a terrorist. You won't go to hell for all those things put together. The only thing that sends anybody to hell is a sin worse than all of those, and that is rejecting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, Pilate says, what will I do then with Jesus? And you have to answer that question, and I have to answer that question, and so did this man, Simon. And no Roman soldier would ever carry a cross. No Roman citizen would carry a cross. No Jew would carry a cross. That was unclean. Whoever carried a cross was a marked man. And Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? Yeah. Then take up your cross and follow me. You will be a marked man if you're going to follow me. I know. I've been marked for many years. So this fellow carrying this cross, obviously, he was at the foot of the cross when everything we're going to read about in the next few verses down here, all of that took place. He was there. And every single person in this world, sooner or later, is going to have to face the cross. The hymn writer says, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yeah, I was there. He did it for me. Now, it says in this verse number 21 that he passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus. It is so interesting if you compare Scripture with Scripture. Alexander and Rufus. Paul, when he wrote a letter to the Romans, mentions Rufus, and he mentions the mother of Rufus. In fact, he adopted her as his own mother, it tells us in Romans. She was so special. And Simon at Calvary that day had his life changed forever. The stories flow from this little verse, if you study Romans, and see what happened as a result of this one man being there and being given the cross. He came face to face with Jesus Christ. The hymn writer said, face to face with Christ. Face to face, what will it be? With rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. We will be there. And some will go to heaven, and some will go to hell, depending on what we've done with him. There's three things that happen here while he's before Pilate. One is the silence of the Lamb. And it says in Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Prophesied hundreds and hundreds, at least 700 years before Jesus was born, it says this would happen. He would be silent, he would open not his mouth. I've said before, I grew up on a sheep farm, and I watched them come in when it was time to shear the sheep. And I'm thinking, why doesn't that sheep run away? But as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And the sheep, you can hear them all. Bah, bah, bah. They're all bah. That's all they do. Unless they're being sheared. And when the one who is doing the shearing shears the sheep, he sits down on the ground. And he takes the sheep and he pulls him over on his back. And he shears them. Now, they don't make a noise. They don't try to get away. They just stay there while they have these, their clippers, like you'd get your hair cut with. And they're driving up. And they get all this wool and put it in a bag. And poor little sheep would run away naked. I mean, oh. And interestingly enough, they put Jesus on the cross and stripped him naked. As a sheep before its shearers. Prophesied 700 years before it happened. They just lie there till it's over. Not only the silence of the Lamb, but the suffering of the Lamb. He was delivered up by the council, the Sanhedrin. But it tells us in the book of Acts chapter 2 and 23, him, Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. They thought, well, our counsel has done this. No, it was the determinate counsel of God before eons of time back, before the beginning of this world, said that was going to happen. It was God's counsel that was doing this, not theirs. They thought they were so much in charge. The silence of the Lamb and the suffering of the Lamb. And then you have the substitution of the Lamb. The Bible says God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took my place and died for me on Calvary's cross. So it focuses here on the soldiers. It focuses on Simon. It focuses on the Savior. 22, and they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. The place. The place. He was in Gethsemane, and it said they knew the place. They resorted to this place. As I said, we are all going to be at the place somewhere where we are going to have to someday give an account for the places we're at now when we rejected Jesus Christ. They gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. Now, it's interesting here. It says, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments. And verse 25 says, when it was the third hour, they crucified him. And that's all Mark says. Mark puts very little focus on the physical suffering of Christ. Now, you read the other Gospels, and man, they're talking about him being spit on, being whipped, being beaten, being punched, being slapped. All the physical stuff you'll find in the other Gospels, but you don't find it in Mark. Mark focuses on the mockery and the emotional trauma that Jesus Christ went through. This religious court. I mean, he's already been through this religious court in the middle of the night, and they've been spitting and punching on him and beating him and blindfolding him and all that before he ever got to Pilate. But Mark doesn't mention that. He mentions the mockery, the political court, and even at Calvary. All he says was, they crucified him. And it was the third hour. That's 9 o'clock in the morning. Things have happened pretty fast. He was just arrested last night. That was totally against God's, Israel's laws about how things were to be done. And then the sarcasm. See, Pilate hated the Jews. We can go into a lot of reasons why. There's a history there, and you read some of it from Josephus, you can get it. Pilate hated the Jews. The Jews didn't have any respect for him either. But it was sarcasm that put this sign up there. The superscription of the accusation was written over the King of the Jews. Where's God? I mean, back in Moses' day, it says that Moses, I want you to come up in a mountain. I'm going to talk to you. Okay. Well, you tell all those people, if they touch that mountain, they will die. You can come up, but if anybody else even touches that mountain, they will die. Okay, that's pretty serious. Touch the mountain? I mean, all night they have been punching and slapping and spitting on the Son of God. They've been slapping him with their open hand. They blindfold him and punch him and say, now, tell us who did it. All night they have been abusing the Son of God. Touch a mountain and you die. And all night they beat his only beloved son to half to death and end up crucifying him. Where is God? Why doesn't he just come in here and destroy them all? I mean, couldn't touch the mountain. You can do this to his son? Why? We'll look at it more tonight. We're out of time. But it says in Romans, but God proved his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That's why. If God had come in and stopped them all, Bob Kirkland and you, we're all going to hell. We're going to look tonight at the darkness of God. We're going to read here that God shut the light off and it was dark in this earth for 3 hours. And that is where God Almighty came down and put all the sin of this entire world on Christ. It is amazing. I could take probably an hour and a half just showing you the scriptures where God judged in the dark. In the dark. There's tons of stuff in the Old Testament. You'll understand as we look at this tonight why Jesus said in the garden, if this cup could pass from me. 3 hours of judgment in the dark on Jesus Christ by God Almighty. That's what happened in the dark. It's amazing when you compare it with the old scriptures of judgment and the darkness that are put together. I challenge you, get your Bible and go through it and find those places. I'll show you a few of them tonight. I could probably show you 35. And God said, I do my judging in the dark. Why did God not come down there and stop all those people? Jesus said, I could call 10,000 angels. He didn't do that because the plan of salvation is here. This is going in behind the Holy of Holies, as I said. This dark 3 hours. We could spend 3 months talking about it. Mark doesn't. He just mentions a verse or two. But it's amazing. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. What? One day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? We love him, the Bible says, because he first loved us. I mean, we're saved. We're born again. If you are, I hope you are. And he has given us responsibilities. One is to reach as many children in this town as we can with this kids club. You know, you get the other side of Calvary and you can sit back and relax and just, yeah, let the kids go to hell. I'm going to sit in my living room and turn up the air conditioner. That's pretty sad. We have a responsibility. A responsibility. I'm going to ask you a question. Since last Sunday, have you asked anybody even to come to church? We get cold-hearted. We just get so used to the fact that we're going to heaven. Have you even handed a tract to somebody? Have you done anything to try and help some person to draw them to Christ? Have you had a neighbor over for a barbecue that maybe you could lead to the Lord? Let's pray. Father, help us to realize the seriousness of the hour in which we live. And help us to get serious about doing whatever it is you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray.